Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hola.
Hello. This call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow. Ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow. Now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
Hello, it's Tuesday the 5th of March and welcome to Paper Cuts. I'm Jacob Jarvis and I'm somehow ahead of the Tories in the latest YouGov opinion poll. Welcome back to Paper Cuts, the modern newspaper review where we squeeze the papers and make a lovely cup of news juice that leaves you feeling refreshed. If you enjoy the show and fancy helping us out with a few quid every month, then why not join the Paper Cuts Supporters Club? Rest assured that every penny is wisely spent on newspapers, producers and the very occasional Chet Baker vinyl for Marcus. For ad-free episodes, a special extra story at the end of the show, and maybe even a Papercuts mug or t-shirt, visit back.papercutsshow.com to see how you can become a Papercuts supporter. They're the link in the show notes. Now, here are the headlines for today's edition. Livid in America. Trump court win means the former president can run in every state. Guess who? Celebrity Big Brother is back, and it's time for a game of Guess the Celebrity. Happily ever after, we dive into the celeb-packed mega-wedding that was actually a pre-wedding ceremony. Welcome to Paper Cuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Paper Cuts, and we're hoping Jeremy Hunt is putting a chunk of cash aside for us as he finalises his budget today. I'm Jacob Jarvis, and joining me this morning is Marcus Brigstock, a comedian, TV funny man, and usually real-life funny man as well. Hello, Marcus.
Wow. You've set the bar for me there. Let's see if I can clear it.
And joining us is journalist Rebecca Reed, who isn't Lindsay Lohan's mum, despite some recent Twitter confusion. Hello, Rebecca. Are you all clarified after that bit of fallout?
I am. I'm also 2 years younger than Lindsay Lohan.
I'm glad we're cleared up there. So, Rebecca, what have we got on the front pages today?
Right, so on the front of The Guardian, we've got doctors issue dire warnings as NHS faces biggest budget cut in 50 years. So that's great news. Oof, yeah. So if everyone could just stay really healthy.
The standard depressing Guardian front page there.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Generally speaking, the budget is obviously big on everybody's front pages and on everybody's minds. The front of The Times, Hunt poised to freeze fuel duty in budget boost for drivers. Which feels like quite a sensible, solid Tory policy. Tory voters generally like their cars.
They're obsessed with cars, aren't they, the Tories?
And I think also it's becoming a bit of a left versus right, you know, low traffic neighbourhoods versus the right to drive. So it's a virtue signal of sorts, though I wouldn't necessarily say that it was a virtue.
And the communists are going to force us all to live in 15-minute cities soon, aren't they?
We won't be allowed to leave our houses at all. It'll be 15-minute leg cities.
Yeah.
You can use steps per day. And also Gabby Logan has given an interview talking about her sex life with her husband since he had his prostate removed, during which she says, "My kids hate me talking about sex," while she talks about her sex life, which I think is great. Good on you, Gabby. On the front page of The Eye, we have got similar budget-related news. Tory tensions as Hunt and Sunak wrestle over crunch budget. Health spending will fall 2.4%, though. Apparently that's the ongoing message that we're a bit concerned about.
What are they meant to be wrestling over with that? Just that Hunt is saying you actually can't spend loads of money that doesn't exist.
Yes. And also, I think probably if you were Jeremy Hunt, you'd be thinking, all I've got to do is not do the worst Tory budget of recent years. If I just do better than the Liz Truss government did, then surely it can't be that bad.
Yeah, he must be really upset just thinking, for fuck's sake, I thought this was going to be really easy and it's not for him. Marcus, what have you got?
Well, I've got The Sun. They've got a Celeb Big Brother exclusive, which is also covered in all the other newspapers. But this is about Uncle Gary, Kate Middleton's uncle. And he says, "Harry threw my niece Kate under the bus." For those who've been worried about whatever's mysteriously wrong with Kate Middleton, this is not literal, as far as we know. The Mirror, Tories poll humiliation on the run. Conservative support falls to 20%, their lowest ever rating, as government's huge failure on household income is revealed.
Is that revealed, or just that's just been the case? Yeah, no, it's for a while.
No one knew that they didn't have any money anymore, no, or couldn't afford anything. The Daily Mail, Vickers in uproar. I'm tempted to stop there, but there is more. Vickers in uproar over church's 1 billion slavery reparations. The last thing the Church of England wants to be doing is addressing moral shortcomings. I think this is dreadful. £1 billion reparations pushed by the Church of England to atone for its historic links to slavery is anti-Christian, critics warned last night.
Lovely Christian, I mean, slavery.
To be fair to them, if you read the Bible, yeah, you will find that slavery is pretty roundly endorsed.
Yeah.
The Star... proud to love animals. Bigfoot lives in Torquay.
Proud to love imaginary animals, then,
yes,
in this case.
Imaginary.
It says, well, you know, there's been some... Well, Marcus, talk us through.
Well,
what is it?
I mean, you can't say for absolute certain that Bigfoot's been found in Torquay, but the sub-headline is Giant's Prince Found by Science Teacher, so this is 100% definitely true.
Donald Trump got lucky in court yesterday when a Supreme Court judgment ruled he was wrongly removed from the ballot in Colorado, clearing the way for him to run in primaries in all 50 states. Rebecca, can you talk me through what's happened here?
So this is quite complicated because it relies on legislation which cites things like muskets. So this is very old, old law. But basically, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, bear with me, bars insurrectionists from holding office. So if you take the logic that Donald Trump incited the insurrection or was in some way complicit in the insurrection and is trying to hold office again, then you could argue that he is not allowed to hold office, so therefore he shouldn't be allowed to be on the ballot. But there's a lot of layers of if.
Yeah.
It's a very complicated ruling, and also one of the problems with it is that whenever he gets indicted for anything or he is perceived to be being a victim of prejudice, his approval ratings actually go up. So while I imagine a lot of people will be really excited to not see Donald Trump on any ballot papers, actually it's only making him more popular. So what's happened is it was agreed that actually the legislation that they used to make him not on the ballot in Colorado was not legitimate. So he is now able to be on the ballot for all 50 states.
Is it because you don't own a musket? Is that why you're not such a Donald Trump fan?
Do I think people have the right to have a musket? I think yes, but only if you're going to wear a full bonnet, corset situation.
Okay, so
not
it's got to be
the
real
musket.
Dress up.
Absolutely. But nice. If you're going to go the whole hog, then yeah, sure, absolutely.
So how have the papers reacted to this? We can look at the US. We are an international podcast here, so I know the New York Post will be all over it and all those sort of papers. So what are they saying?
So the New York Post has said 9-0 Supreme Court ruling on Trump shows that democracy isn't partisan. So they take the view that this is the correct ruling because it's the correct interpretation of the 14th Amendment. And I think, unfortunately, I'm inclined to agree with them. I think they probably are right. Just because we want it to be impossible for him to run again doesn't mean it actually necessarily should be.
Yeah. So it doesn't, though, mean that all of the bother for Trump is over, does it? He's got plenty of legal stuff coming up at the moment.
Oh, yeah. There's a slew of ongoing investigations. And again, the complicated question is, if he is still under investigation for the various other financial matters, is he still eligible to run? Is he still eligible to be elected? If he were elected and he were being investigated by his own government, would that work? I mean, I think the answer here really is that it would be quite nice to have no Donald Trump and probably somebody replacing Biden and just a nice clean sheet on all of these people. And yet, yeah, here we are with our octogenarian and septuagenarian candidates.
Marcus, how do you, with the court cases coming up here, does it just make it all feel like none of them are a big deal? This is, the Supreme Court has had to make a ruling on this and it's been relegated to sort of middle pages of
page
the newspapers.
24.
Yeah, page 24.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. These states who said he can't run, it was the first time I was like, politics of those legal rulings is messy. It's too messy because it hasn't... I've made my mind up, but it has not been conclusively proved that he is an insurrectionist.
Yeah.
So then you're in really... dubious territory. But I sort of think, look, he's going to be on that ticket. He's going to run. He ought to be beatable, even by elderly Joe Biden, who is actually has been, in my opinion, a pretty good president, apart from his staggering inability to communicate, which is shocking. Like, basically, I think they should only interview Biden when he's got an ice cream in his hand, because that's the only time he's quite coherent, when he's happy and jacked up on dairy and sugar. But there are two things about Trump that I've found particularly interesting. And one is a story that came out that I don't think got enough coverage, which is that the amount of stimulants that were awash in the White House during his presidency is absolutely unprecedented, right?
That's so fascinating.
They were giving, no one knows if it was Trump himself, but they were giving staffers the same things they give to US military pilots.
Oh, like modafinil.
To
keep,
yeah, modafinil. Yeah. But the White House was literally awash with speed, and there have been lots of rumors that that Donald Trump and his slightly adenoidal way of communicating is because something may be blocked or rotted up inside here. Not the best impression, but you get my
point. That's pretty good, I think.
I hope. Thank you. But the other thing that is fascinating me is that there are some widely circulated AI pictures of Donald Trump surrounded by either all male or all female black voters, right? To show how popular he increasingly is amongst young black people. And they're AI generated. They're not real.
Can you imagine if they said, can we find a photo of you with a black person, and they had to use AI? Like, you are one of the most famous men in the world and there are no pictures of you with black people.
But this tactic, which is, I understand, is led by Bannon, is to try to radicalize particularly the young male black and Asian vote for Trump on the basis that machismo will get him over the line.
Which unfortunately is not a stupid idea. It's the it's the Andrew Tate crowd.
Yeah.
And actually, I think if you can make somebody feel like they are oppressed and that Trump is going to unoppress you, that's a key to unlocking a lot of votes.
Absolutely. Yeah. The wanker market, both literally and figuratively. Yeah.
Vote for Trump,
huge.
You will get laid. That is the terrifying but very compelling statement.
Yeah.
Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow. Ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow. Now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
I've lived my life largely unaware of any season of Big Brother, but it does get rammed down my throat on an annual basis in the newspapers. So I can excitedly tell you Celebrity Big Brother is back, and well, what a lineup. From Real Housewives star Lauren Simon to Corey actor Colson Smith, they make Ellen DeGeneres' Oscar selfie look like a night out in a Slug and Lettuce. Rebecca, so some of the papers have gone pretty big on this. Fern Britton and Louis Walsh look like the only two who are anywhere near household names, as far as I can tell.
I'm not sure that's totally fair, because the real skill with Celebrity Big Brother is that you get the level of celebrity that you sort of know who they are, but that they don't feel distant to you, so that it scoops up some of the joy of the original Big Brother. Also, it's a show that if there's anything left that families are still watching together on a physical television, it's something like Celebrity Big Brother or I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. So you've got to have lots of different generational ones. And, you know, the kind of person who's excited by Louis Walsh is not the same person who's excited by Ekin Su from Love Island. So it's actually a really smart lineup. So you've got Louis Walsh, which, you know, as we've been talking about, I'm not sure that he needs the money.
No.
But I think he does need the attention. So little Lulu's in there. And then Sharon Osbourne has popped in as a surprise guest. I'm not sure that's really in keeping with the spirit of Big Brother. I think if you're in, you're in. But they're, you know, they were a dynamic duo on The X Factor for many, many years. You've got Nikita Kuzmin from Strictly Come Dancing, and you've got Gary Goldsmith, naughty Uncle yes. Gary, who is Kate Middleton's uncle. Now, I originally had forgotten that he is actually not naughty in a sort of fun way, but naughty in a sort of assaulted his wife way. Oof. Yeah, so he was done for assault and paid £5,000 of damages like quite a long time ago, over a decade ago, but still.
Yeah.
Different, not the kind of naughty we enjoy.
Yeah, I think if you're an uncle, the one word you really don't want of the descriptor is naughty.
I know.
No. It's really loaded.
Like, I think as a warning, because I'm an uncle, and I do think when you start being described as a fun uncle, that is fun, mm-hmm. but it does feel like a slippery slope.
Yeah.
And you can really easily cross over from fun uncle to naughty uncle straight into the uncle we don't really mention anymore.
Yeah. Why doesn't Uncle Marcus come for Christmas anymore? It's not important.
I think I've gone on the sliding scale from fun to useless as I've got more and more nieces and
useless
nephews.
Uncle's excellent.
Yeah, yeah. How are the papers covering his appearance in the show?
So mostly it's framed as the concern that the royal family are going to have about what he's going to say when he's on there. I mean, they don't see him. Like Marcus, he doesn't get invited for Christmas anymore as an uncle. So, they don't know. I don't think he's actually got any interesting things to tell.
When it comes to the papers, they are acting like, oh, we're so concerned that he'll say something crazy.
Yeah.
The minute he says something crazy, it'll be on the front page of every fucking newspaper because they'll be so ecstatic.
Yeah. I've found
about
some.
That being the case.
I've literally already found some. Worth saying, I mean, he has no more idea about whether the accusations in Prince Harry's book are accurate than you or I do, or probably most of the people in the royal household. But he's quite obsessed about whether or not Kate and family will be watching. He's quoted here in The Sun saying, could you imagine if George and Charlotte watch? I mean, it's the type of show that a family could watch, but it's past the watershed. And will they be asleep by then? Maybe if I'm doing a weird task, Uncle Gary dressed as a chicken or something. But if I make people proud, I'll be absolutely chuffed. Maybe they'll get to see it.
Proud.
He really goes on a journey there.
God. I almost feel bad for him now. That's one of the saddest things I've ever heard.
He's very keen. He advises Kate that there may be moments where she wants to watch from behind the sofa. So he's already planning. But he's an odd and fascinating character. He says here, I think it's easy to have a pot shot. I didn't choose to be in the spotlight. It gets thrown at you, he said, as he went in the Big Brother house.
Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Is it time to change your approach and switch to Air Supra, albuterol budesonide? Now you can virtually connect with a doctor to discuss your options and see if it's time to make a change. If appropriate, you may even be able to get a prescription for Air Supra the same day. Talk to a doctor today and see if Air Supra is right for you. Visit airsupraconnect.com to connect with a provider.
The headlines are meant to be the best bit of the newspapers, although usually the star is the only one that nails being funny. And that is very much the case today, because pretty much all of our headlines are from the Daily Star. Marcus, can you start me out with page 7 of the Star?
Yes, I can. Yeah, we're going in early. Page 7, hair razor, a shaggy perm back in style. And there's a beautiful picture of Deirdre Barlow from Coronation Street, who, of course, famously had a very shaggy perm. And the headline is, Deary Me. I mean, they mean Deirdre Me.
Yeah.
They've slightly missed with this one, but...
They've had to misspell Deary.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be... So I didn't saw the headline, Deary Me. I thought it was going to be something about milk. I thought it was like Dairy Me or something. No,
I don't think it's to do with milk. But they've got a lovely picture of Kylie and Jon Bon Jovi and Julia Roberts, all with... perms.
Yeah. So you've got page 9 in the Star next.
This is a story for cider fans.
Hi, Dad. Yeah.
The Star have got an insider. Cider fans are facing a shortage of their favourite tipple this summer. And the headline is, Cider Ruined by a Few Bad Apples.
Okay.
Which, yeah. I assume the term a few bad apples, I assume that's where it came from anyway. Mm. So
it's actually just...
It's a very practical, like, that's a real utility headline, isn't it, there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Your insider thing was much better.
Yeah.
And now page 10 is your final one.
Brace yourselves, because the body of this story is... I'd say they've gone to the extreme end of what's happening. This is about people in South Korea, and I'll read directly. South Koreans could become extinct. I'd love to say it stops there, but there is more. South Koreans could become extinct because women aren't having babies. Experts warn that plunging birth rates could see the nation die out within 700 years. I'm sure something will happen before then. Yeah. And the headline is, a bad Korea move. A bad career
which
move.
Which just doesn't work. It doesn't work whatsoever for the story, but it, like, it works, career mm-hmm. move, but it doesn't make any sense with
no.
the story.
No. It's unlike the Star to miss.
No.
But, I mean, they're on the board, but they haven't hit the bull.
They're doing
that's
their
the
best.
Point.
Yeah, that's fair.
Rebecca, so give us a quick break from the Star, and then we'll go straight back to it. You've got page 25 in the Mirror.
Okay, so a nice lady... has taken the time to recreate the D-Day landings in wool. The reasons for that, I believe, would be her own. And the headline on this story, which is, you know, just keep in mind, military and knitting, armed with bayonets.
I quite like it, but I do love these stories. So there's a supermarket near where I grew up, and I was back home around November, and they had a massive poppy display. Completely knitted.
Oh, yeah, lovely.
All knitted, lovely. All the poppies, little soldiers knitted. And I just thought, who's had the time for this? And I'm glad that there are people doing it.
I have opinions about the level of poppyization. When I see somebody, I saw a dog with a poppy on and I thought, I don't think he cares about war at all. I don't think he's got any opinions. And I don't think he paid for it.
No. Tell me it wasn't an XL bully.
No, it was a Labrador, not even a fun dog.
I think we should send the XL bullies to war. That's the solution.
That's how we find peace.
And their owners.
Use them as...
I think in some parts of London that's what's happening and that might be the issue.
So then, back to the Star, you've got page 11.
Right. Subtitle, Flirty Parrot's Love Nest Set Up. So this is a story about a missing Casanova parrot was found after 4 days when he flirted with a woman who was walking under the tree he was hiding in. So parrot goes missing, woman's walking along, parrot cracks on. Says, oi, hello, they're lovely. I think it might maybe a bit strong to call that flirting, but it's more street harassed. But anyway, the sexual harassment parrot, the story headline is Beaky Finders.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
I would also say if that was in The Guardian, they definitely would have gone on the line
harassment,
of him
absolutely.
Yeah, shouting at women in the street. It's not on from that fucking parrot.
Is there any news on whether the parrot is a Brummie? And wears,
a
dangerous hat with razor blades in it.
So he's called Joey. So already I'm thinking not a threatening name.
No.
It's a sweet payoff though. The cheeky bird flew back into the owner's arms and gave him a kiss before saying, "Oh, hello, Dad. Love you."
Nice.
Oh, that's quite sweet.
It's a father and son of sorts.
Yeah.
Wearing a Men's Warehouse outfit makes you confident, like you could do anything, so you dance like no one is watching, even though everyone is watching. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you interview like the job is already yours because it is. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you golf as if the rules don't apply to you because you're too well-dressed for rules. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit. At Men's Warehouse, get measured, get fitted, get hot, get confident in everything from tailored suits to underwear and all the stuff in between. Love the way you look at Men's Warehouse.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Now we move on to the features, where very often it is all about love. And today, dominating the inserts inside The Times and The Telegraph is the story of a mega wedding that wasn't actually a mega wedding. It was a pre-wedding ceremony. Marcus, talk me through this.
Yeah, the billionaire pre-wedding and the ultimate power guest list. This is extraordinary. I mean, some people obviously have all the money, and when they throw a do, I instinctively want to look the other way and go, yeah, this is gross, it's what's wrong with everything. But you cannot look away. No. It's magical. So at this wedding, Bill Gates attended, Mark Zuckerberg attended. It was just astonishing. Everybody was there. It's the Ambani family, and the wedding the pre-wedding cost 120 million quid. I mean, it was probably only worth 100 quid, but you know, when companies hear pre-wedding, they jack the prices up. Rihanna sang.
Which is wild.
They booked Rihanna for their pre-wedding party. Who the hell's going to play the wedding?
Beyonce.
It has to be Beyonce
or Taylor Swift. It could be Taylor Swift.
Okay,
Taylor
Swift. That'd be a true one. Yeah. So, Marcus, what did they actually get up to whilst they were there? It was in a field.
So it was in an oil refinery.
Okay.
Which you know, anybody who's booked a wedding will know oil refineries are always up there as a as an option, aren't they? You think, should we go Battersea Arts Centre?
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps an oil refinery. And in the end, on this occasion, an oil refinery won out. But then they went on. There was a sort of second wave to the party to India's largest mango orchard.
Okay.
Which, again, you know, maybe that wasn't all the guests. Maybe some people got a kind of meet you in the mango orchard kind of thing.
My thing about an orchard is that is... when you're there, it doesn't need to be the world's biggest for you to know whether it's the world's biggest or not. Because when you're in the orchard, I imagine they all look the same.
Mm.
So a very big orchard versus the world's biggest.
That's a very good
you
point.
Actually can't tell when you're in person.
Oh,
there,
but so. You'd know. You'd be sitting there thinking, this is a lovely wedding, but this is the second biggest mango orchard in India, and I'm a disappointed.
I assume, given the amount of money they spent on this, that someone will have done a really, really good job of tidying up. But orchards stink.
Interesting.
Like fruit falls and rots, and when it rots, I quite like the smell, actually. It's kind of heady and weird. But I would think that a mango orchard is a really stinky place to have a
really good point.
I don't know how the Ambani family made their money. Are they mango?
Is it mangoes and oil? That would be my guess.
They own the oil refinery, I believe.
So they're actually being really cheap. They're just doing it what they've already got.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Parties that are
my
place.
Dad says we have to do it at the oil refinery. Oh. Dad, it's always at the oil refinery.
Really going make do and mend of the whole thing. They went, though, to an animal sanctuary of some kind as well, didn't they, Marcus?
Well,
which doesn't sound very rescue-y.
They have a rescue sanctuary for animals. This has got Tiger King vibes written all over it.
They've got a zoo. It's
Carol
a zoo.
Fucking Baskin.
Rebecca, are you impressed by the celebs who are in attendance here? Because there obviously were some pretty impressive celebs, but they're also just the biggest nerds in the world in Bill Gates and Zuckerberg.
I think if I had a budget to invite famous people to my wedding, or indeed if I were just so rich, if famous people wanted to come to my wedding, this is the list of people I wouldn't invite, excepting Rihanna. And then they mentioned that ASAP Rocky came. That's Rihanna's baby daddy. He was there presumably to put the kids to bed. That's not a bonus celebrity. No. That's just someone who had to be there. So Bill Gates, don't care. Probably wouldn't have anything to say. Ivanka Trump, not exciting at all. Ivanka Trump's husband, Jared Kushner.
I think we could get Ivanka Trump on the podcast just to get her away from her family
If I invited her, honestly, she is so unpopular in New York. If I invited her to a dinner party at my ex-council house in Balham, she would be there in a shot. She just wants to get invited to something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't care how rich you are. I think it is super rude to have a multiple day destination wedding and expect your mates to go. Some of these people will have an annual leave budget and they've all had to spunk it on the silly wedding.
And multiple outfits too.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got to find somewhere to stay, you've got to buy them a present. What do you buy a present to people who already own an oil refinery and a zoo?
Yeah,
I'm not into it.
A new animal of some kind, I suppose.
You've definitely got to go funny gift at that point. They don't want anything. It's sort of a humorous tea towel, isn't it? You know, my... or a t-shirt that says, my husband went to an oil refinery and all I got was this shitty t-shirt.
And that brings us to the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thank you very much to Marcus Brigstock.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you to Rebecca Reed.
Thank you.
Remember, we are now out 5 days a week, and we would be really grateful for your support to carry on making sense of the papers for you every weekday. We are a 100% independent outfit. There's no big media owner behind us, and we spend around £600 a month on newspapers alone. So it would be fantastic if you could chip in a little to help keep Paper Cuts on the road. For as little as £3 a month, you can get 20 episodes a month without adverts, and support us for a little more and you'll get extended episodes with extra material, plus the coveted Paper Cuts mugs and t-shirts, which are occasionally modelled by the panel but by none of us today. Follow the show notes to back.papercutsshow.com. That's back.papercutsshow.com to find out more. Our supporters also get a shout out on the show, and here are some now.
Thanks from me to Lynwen Davison and Madeleine Pritchard.
Huge thanks from me to Matt French, and to you, Katie Slee. Thank you.
And lots of love from me to Matthew Laws and Alexandra F. Clarkson. I've been Jacob Jarvis, and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when the Star revealed that Brits want pineapple pizza and Greg's steak bake flavoured booze to go on sale. Well, I'm very glad today to be toasty total. See you tomorrow.
Oh, hey. No.
Paper Cuts is written and presented by Jacob Jarvis with Rebecca Reed and Marcus Bridgestock. Audio production and music are from Simon Williams. Production from Liam Tate with assistant production by me, Adam Wright. Designed by James Parrott and socials by Kieran Leslie. The managing editor is Jacob Jarvis. The group editor is Andrew Harrison, and the executive producer is Martin Boytosh. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.